Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome, welcome. It is good to be with you here on a Monday. We got an incredible week of sports coming up. We got a pretty interesting weekend of sports to talk about. We've got teams' fortunes sort of ticking up and down in their own little stock markets right now. And I just feel so bad for Steve Kerr. I cannot even begin to tell you the empathy that I have for guys, gals, anyone in the world with back problems, whether they be minor back problems or major back problems. The minute that they're yours, it's all you think about. If you really want to know how bad backs can be, imagine how hard it is to take a situation of competition like this from a guy like Steve Kerr.
Oh, yeah.
His back is so bad, it makes him walk away from the Warriors despite how good they are at this particular time, in the most important time of the entire year. And I just feel terrible for the guy. You know, we've got our new website, 95.7 The Game. Blog post. You know, I never know what to really write about. I've got like a whole bunch of balls in the air, but then nothing like inspires me. What do I want to write about? I don't know. I got to wait for the stroke of inspiration to hit me. Well, Steve Kerr's bad back sent me to my computer, and I remember how bad my bad back was. And it's just, it changes your entire outlook. It changes the way you see the world. It changes the way you treat people. You know, we can all agree that Steve Kerr is like one of the nicest guys in the world, right?
He is for sure.
Gianna, by the way, hello. How are you?
Great.
It's great to see you. I hope you had a good weekend. It was, you know, every single time he's joined us all season long, Steve Kerr has given us his full attention. He has shown us his thoughtful side. He has been inquisitive. He has asked me more questions than any other interview subject I've ever had on the show. He has been playful. He's been cooperative. He's been revealing. Everything you could ever want in a guest, we've gotten in Steve Kerr. And honestly, Gianna, you know what really it is in radio sometimes? The difference between a B guest and an A-list guest is how easy it is to get the guest on the phone.
Definitely.
What if I told you that Steve Kerr was an A-plus radio guest, not only based on his content, but by how easy it was to get him on the phone? You'd believe me, wouldn't you?
100%.
Of course you'd believe me, because you've been listening too. And because you've been listening, you like Steve Kerr for who he is more than you even like him for what he's done for your favorite basketball team as its head coach. Like, that's kind of who he is. So, on that note, let me tell you about the first time I ever thought of suicide. Didn't consider it, but I thought about it. So I've had a major lower back surgery. And that major lower back surgery came at a time of not unemployment, but let's call it part-time employment. I was in between working at ESPN and returning to San Francisco to work here, and was working marginal radio jobs wherever I could find them, trying to keep one toe in the industry, Gianna, while reality seemed to be pulling me out of it. And then all of a sudden, I got a break that brought me out here, and thank goodness. Well, while I was waiting for that to happen, my back problem went from manageable to completely unmanageable. And I have dehydrating and cracked discs between several lower back vertebrae. Because they are dehydrated and cracking, there's no cushion, and my spine is sort of collapsing on itself.
Ouch. Sounds painful.
And in that action, nerves get pinched. Pinched nerves create sensations in your body that you've either experienced and you're nodding and you know what I'm talking about, or you're the lucky person who has never experienced nerve pain, nerve damage. It is staggering. You know, it goes from my leg feels tingly to my leg feels numb to a burning sensation to making your eyes water level pain. I remember several times having to pull over driving a car, even one time on the side of a highway. I was so dizzy with pain that I could not keep driving without creating some risk to someone else or myself.
Right.
And it's staggering. I mean, do you ever have that feeling like, hey, I think my femur is about to explode? It's not just a back issue. Even though the issue's in your back, the pain can be in other places. I seriously thought that I had bone cancer in my leg.
That's how bad it felt?
That's how bad it felt, because I was, like I said, uninsured. And I was also the tough guy who was going to grin it and bear it and grin it and bear it and grin it and bear it. I remember thinking to myself, you know, I have such a, I got a great life. You know, I got great friends. I got great parents. I got a bright future. La, la, la. I'm a happy guy. Nothing's going to make me depressed. It's been the most depressed I've ever been in my entire life, because you just can't do anything. You can't focus anywhere. And I just feel so bad for Steve Kerr. And there's very few things that I can completely relate to in the world of sports, because I've gone through it too. I've gone through this too. When I had my back surgery, it turned off my pain like a light switch. Off, done. And about, let's see, it happened in 2004. It's 2017. 13 years later, every now and then I have a small relapse. I'll go get a little acupuncture. I'll go get a little, there's this machine that they strap me into and pull me apart like an unfolded accordion.
Wow.
And it creates a little stress. It takes stress off your lower spine, and that stays for a while. So it's good. It's sometimes a procedure that I have to go get done.
And that makes it feel better?
It does make it feel better, if not permanently, temporarily. And because I got a bad back and there's no permanent fix for a bad back, I have to do some temporary relief every now and then. And that's certainly something that Steve Kerr, I think, expected to do. But unfortunately for him, unlike my back surgery, which went off without a hitch, he had a severe complication. They nicked a portion of his spinal column, which has created a leak that they have not been able to plug, and it just makes my eyes water with pain again, remembering the pain that I used to be in, and then thinking, the minute that I got off that table, you know, I was brought to the emergency room finally. Like, I just couldn't take it another day. Could not take it another day. I go into the emergency room, and the doctor said, describe your pain. And I remember saying, I absolutely remember saying, so I'm a pretty happy person, but now I understand why some people kill themselves.
Wow.
That's my level of pain. Contemplating suicide. Is that bad, Doc?
That sounds bad.
That's officially bad. That's an indelicate way to describe anything. But I said it then, I meant it then, and I stand by the thought now. That's how bad it was. If I had had this problem in the Middle Ages with no doctor or any sort of surgery to relieve myself, I understand the person who throws himself like off the turret of the castle. They weren't crying on the inside. They just had staggering, life incapacitating levels of pain. And that's what Kerr has to be going through to some degree. I know he talks about it in terms of, well, I'm a little nauseous, I'm a little dizzy, I have bad headaches. God almighty. I just feel terrible for the guy.
That's rough.
So if you ever wanted to know how bad it could be, it's so bad that you would sit out the dance with the best team in the world. That's how bad it can be.
Oh, obviously. I mean, if he's missing the playoffs, you know it's very, very, very serious.
Oh. I feel so bad for him. I truly, truly do. Just a shame. And if you told me, and this is the scary part, if you told me there's no solution, and that's the reality of lower back issues, there may be no solution. And that has got to be a point of anxiety for Steve Kerr that is just hard to deal with. He has access to the greatest minds in the world. Look at it this way. The greatest minds, I'm sure, in the back world did this to him, put him in this situation with a botched surgery. And now he says he's just looking for answers.
I'm in the midst of continuing to discuss the situation with my doctors, trying to find some solutions, and we'll go from there. But tomorrow I will not coach, and hopefully we can find some things to help over the next few days, and I'll get back out there.
And so for him to talk about how he doesn't know when he's coming back, it means his doctors are looking at him and going, Steve, we don't know. We don't know what this is. We thought we know what it was. We thought we fixed it. We thought we fixed it once. We knew what it was. We identified it. We diagnosed it. We went in to try to repair it. And here you are with the same symptoms after we tried to repair the mistake. What next?
That's scary.
There might not be a what's next.
Right.
The doctor told me, you've had a back surgery and it's gone successfully for you. You never want the spinal fusion. And then they told me that people who get spinal fusions are now, like, they're 20% more likely to take their own lives. And based on the way I felt before my first surgery, I was like, I believe it.
I can understand that.
I believe it. I believe it. Because if this, if after your surgery I got worse, not better, pfft, I don't know. That's how bad it was.
Wow.
I just feel terrible for him. He's a great basketball coach. He's an even better person, and he deserves much better than this. I almost can't even talk about it in terms of sports. It's such a real, I've been through it kind of an issue. But to bring it back to the world of sports, for those of you who have to look at everything framed only in the world of sports, because, you know, you're listening to a sports station right now. Let's be completely honest. They're up 3-0 against Portland. I don't know if Kevin Durant is going back tonight. I don't know if Livingston's going tonight. I don't know who's going tonight. I don't know if Barnes is going tonight. I don't know if Mike Brown wants to sabotage a game tonight or Coach Gray tonight. I really don't know, and I really don't care, because the Golden State Warriors are going to beat Mike Brown if it were up to me to close this series. Or excuse me, they would beat the Trailblazers if it were up to me to close this series. Gianna, I would close out the Trailblazers. Maybe not in four, but there's no way I'm giving four games in a row back with this team. That is how good the Warriors are. Damon Bruce could, without a doubt, coach the Warriors past Portland. After that, I'd get a little concerned, and you probably should too. I don't know if I want to match up against Quinn Snyder or Doc Rivers, even though the Warriors can take out either team. It seems like you're going to need a little bit more coaching than I could give you there. But this is just something that, if you told me he never coached again, if there is no solution, I would not be surprised. I will not. If this goes to Event Horizon and Steve Kerr is done as an NBA coach, I would not be surprised.
Gosh, I hope that doesn't happen.
I really hope that that doesn't happen either. I really hope he finds some pain relief and peace, because this is it does not end. It does not end in any direction. Well, why don't you lay down? Why don't you lean this way? Why don't you sit this way? Why don't you use this zero gravity chair? Why don't you? Basically, all you can do is numb yourself with a series of opiates that leave you a shell of who you are.
That's too bad.
It's brutal. We've got Tim Roy joining us at 3:30. It is game day. I hope you brought your broom. I hope the Warriors bring a broom with them to Portland tonight to close out this series. Time is all really Portland has. I'm just trying to extend this. Feels like there's no scenario which they win this. Really, what we're looking for tonight is, here's the big question. We got Tim Roy at 3:30. Keith Law is going to join me at 3:45. We're going to have Bill Cartwright, TBD. He's getting enshrined in the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame today. Chris Mannix all over the NBA playoffs at 4:30. Bruce Jenkins at 5:30. We're going to get into a lot of baseball with Bruce, obviously. But under what scenario do the Trailblazers actually take a game in this series? That's what we're now looking for. That's the only litmus test left in this series. So let's see. Can you beat the Warriors when your backcourt's playing out of its mind in game one? No, you can't. Can you beat the Warriors in game two when they're not playing particularly well themselves? And oh, by the way, Kevin Durant, who was in the mix, is now out of the mix. Can you win that scenario? No, you can't. All right, well, you're going to go back home now, and you're going to have that home crowd behind you, and you're going to get off to a fantastic start. There's no Kevin Durant. There's no Livingston. And, oh, by the way, now there's no Steve Kerr. No, you lost that game, too. And so now you're facing under what scenario might the Trailblazers win this game? What if they got Nurkic back? Nope, that already happened. I mean, you know, where is it? Where is the, oh, hey, they did it. They took a game. If they got it, they better show it tonight because game five is not scheduled with a Warrior victory this evening.
Oh, no, Sharks are done.
That sucks. That sucks.
It does.
There are two hockey teams that I really watch when the Stanley Cup playoffs begin. Your Sharks and my Blackhawks. They're both done. That sucks. That completely neuters my Stanley Cup playoff excitement. Doesn't mean I'm, you know, not going to try to still hump the Stanley Cup finals, but it neuters my passion for it.
You mean you're not an Edmonton Oilers fan?
I'm not going to hop on that Edmonton bandwagon, Gianna. I just can't. I cannot hop on the Oilers bandwagon. There really isn't a bandwagon I'm interested in hopping on. The only bandwagon I wanted to hop on would have been the Sharks.
Sure. I feel ya.
Nah. Now, in oh my God, that guy is a total stud news, do you realize that Joe Thornton came back to skate in this series and did it on a torn ACL and MCL? That is bonkers. That is more Donskoy scar than anything I've ever heard of. Except, of course, Donskoy actually scarring. But that's insane!
That's one tough dude.
That's insane. Gianna, do you realize that if you and I both in this segment tore our ACLs and then there was a race down to the end of the hallway for a pot of gold, you and I wouldn't hesitate to get into that race because you can run straight line as fast with a torn ACL as with a healthy one. It is not about straight line speed. It's about pushing off. It's about lateral movement.
Right.
The action of skating itself is all push off lateral movement. How his knee wasn't folding on itself, not when anyone hit him, worked on him, got him in the corner and gave him the old business and whatnot. The fact that he didn't blow his knee out with every skate, with every blade drop, is just insane. Joe Thornton, your beard and your knee and your pain threshold, that is just man time. That's next level human suffering, and he didn't even care. That takes, of course he'll play, he's a hockey player, to like a whole new level.
Definitely.
You know, I bet you Logan Couture had an awful lot of pain in his mouth, but you don't need your mouth to skate.
But you need your knees.
You need at least one knee, Gianna, to skate. I mean, obviously you don't need two, not if your name is Joe Thornton. Of all the things that guy's done, gold medals, Canadian Cups, whatever, everything he's done, that is his personal Stanley Cup. That is his, that's insane.
And I love it. He's like, oh, it's just the normal stuff hockey players deal with.
No.
No, that's not normal.
No. Skating with a couple teeth knocked out, that's totally normal. Skating with an upper body or lower body injury, that is totally normal. Skating with a torn apart knee is definitely to the left of normal, Joe. Like, give yourself a little credit, man. I know that there's this humility that permeates everything a hockey player does, but my Lord, like, give yourself a standing ovation. Actually, don't. You got a torn ACL.
Sit down
and give yourself an ovation. You don't need to stand at all.
But much respect.
Good Lord. That is. That's we should get the South Park song to working on some man time. That is man time. Man, the Giants are bad at this time. But there is a little light at the end of the tunnel. Alex Pavlovich is saying that a source says the Giants, are you ready, are about to call up Christian Arroyo. Christian Arroyo, I don't know if he's exactly what the Giants need right now to put a season's turn-it-around hopes on this guy seems like a bit too much, but down in 16 minor league games this year, he is hitting .464. That is first in the PCL. He's got 14 runs, 7 doubles, 3 homers, 12 RBIs. He's only struck out twice. He's got a 1.17 on-base plus slugging. He's got only 8 strikeouts and 65 at-bats. He's 21 years old, and Bobby Evans says he's going to have to force his way here. Yeah, I call him up and I hit him third. Okay? That I've seen enough. None of this like bring Arroyo in and start him off nice light, put him in the 7 hole. Nonsense. Cleanup, third, whatever. You need it. I've seen enough of these major league hitters to know that it's time for the best minor league prospect to show us what he's got. The Giants got "It's over" written all over them, and it's really early in the year to have that. It is. It's early in the year, but they've got all kinds of problems that they had last year. If you don't believe me, guess what? The Giants are 36-55 since the All-Star break last year. They're 36-55. They are 19 games under 500 since the All-Star break of last year when everything went wrong. And they're not better. They went out and they spent all that money on a closer. Hey, for a closer to prove his value, you got to get to him. You got to be in position to have him go out and save a game. The Giants are sitting in holes against teams that they normally beat. They just got swept in Colorado. Ah! You don't get swept in Colorado. That's where Fred Lewis hits grand slams. Freddie Lewis. I'm just trying to go yard. It's one of my favorite quotes ever. Fred, what are you doing today? I'm just trying to go yard. Jump that yard. Well, Fred Lewis isn't here to save you anymore. And Rick Pitino's not walking through that door, if you know what I'm saying. Bumgarner apparently is going to talk to the media today. And if we can get any sound from him, we are definitely going to go ahead and turn that around for you. Next, Tim Roy is ready to talk a little Warrior basketball. He's sitting up in Portland ahead of Game 4 tonight. We'll see if he's had a chance to interact with Kerr at all. It has been a rough weekend for Steve Kerr, obviously. But the Warriors can pretty much finish it off in a way that leaves everybody feeling good about this first round, if not a little worried about Steve Kerr going forward. After that, we've got our pal Keith Law joining us from ESPN.com. We've got a fantastic Monday show for you, so don't you move. Don't you go anywhere. Tim Roy, oh, bye! Next.
You know, before I leave, man, I just want to, my thoughts and prayers go out to Steve Kerr, man, and not quite sure the illness that he got going on, but you know, anything that'll keep him away from the game, I know it can't be, the best. So, my thoughts and prayers from my family to Steve Kerr and his family, man. I wish you a healthy recovery and whatever that you're going through. I hope the man above just continue to put his blessings on top of you and your family, man, and you pull through and get back to the sidelines or just get back to just being able to just to be you on a day-to-day basis.
LeBron James, little message for Steve Kerr on his website. Uninterrupted, very nice message from LeBron. These guys are all at each other's throats competition-wise, but it is a small fraternity, to say the least. Tim Roy, our weekly conversation with the play-by-play voice of the Warriors, is brought to you by Porsche of Fremont. Opportunity awaits at Porsche of Fremont, and we'll remind you, as always, that all Warriors guests sound better if you're wearing JBL wireless headphones, the official sound of the Golden State Warriors, and 95.7 The Game. Tim, thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully everything is going well for you up in Portland. Things obviously went well for the Warriors at the end of the game, under which the Trailblazers just came out like gangbusters. It was very impressive under the circumstances of 3 players down and a head coach down. It's even more impressive. And instead of opening up with talk of a sweep, all I can think of is Steve Kerr. I feel terrible for him, Tim, and I'm sure you do too.
It's awful. My thoughts and prayers are to him and Margot and the family that he gets through this and they find a way to alleviate what's affecting him right now. He is he's a prince of a guy, and he shouldn't have to. No one should have to go through this, but certainly not a guy that has such a world view and understands and gets it. And he knows it's just basketball. We're not curing cancer here, and so. It's just too bad. He should be having, the time of his life the last 3 years, and he's had to go through this. It's really, really sad.
It does, on the other hand, give the Warriors just another opportunity to flex the incredible organizational depth created by Bob Myers. How many teams are in a situation where if they're down a brilliant young head coach, they can turn to such a crafty, experienced veteran, not only in games, but dealing with superstars like Kobe and LeBron himself, like Mike Brown? I mean, the embarrassment of riches conversation doesn't usually extend to the coaching depth chart, but it does.
It does, and he's also had, you know, playoff experience, so this is nothing new for him. And, you know, he's had all year to get to know the guys, to get to know Steve, and, you know, he understands that, you know, coming in, you know, what he is, his most important aspect of the job is to just keep it going. You know, the players understand what they need to do. You know, there's nothing, you know, brand new under the sun at this point. So I think he's going to do fine. I thought he did a great job, and Steve had a great comment that he was back here at the hotel and with his son, and all of a sudden he goes, well, we should be putting this guy in the game, and there he is. He's at the scorer's table. So they're on the same page, and that's the most important thing he can do right now.
You know, I saw Steve talk to the media yesterday. He still came across as he's in great spirits, but that's part of living with back pain. You get great at masking it in public because there are times where it just does not leave you, and that's your only way to get through the day. It's just such a tough situation for him to be in. He says that he is going to remain involved, but to me, Tim, just a guy who's got a bad back and have experienced some of the things that he is now experiencing at multiples I would never, ever want to go through. If he never coached again, I would not be shocked. I don't want to get that dramatic, but if there is no solution to nerve pain, and that's sometimes how nerve pain goes, I don't know, man. I just don't know.
Well, I think first and foremost, I think the first thing he needs to do is to, you know, and he's going to do it, is to see if there's a solution. So he's going to go into the exploratory phase yet again, and, you know, maybe he'll talk to a lot of different people and see if he can come up with some kind of an answer, or someone has an answer for him. So hopefully he finds that answer. Hopefully, you know, somebody out there can help him, you know, get this thing solved, and you know, and hopefully he feels better. And you know, he's out with this illness right now, and it's just the best right now for him to kind of, you know, not be in the trenches. It's hard enough, you know, as an NBA coach, you know, to deal with the stress. When you're not feeling well, it's even worse. And so I think he's, again, it goes back to what I said at the beginning. He's got a guy, he's a worldview guy. He understands that, you know, the most important thing right now for Steve Kerr is to get his health right. And so that's what he's going to try to do.
Do you think we see Kevin Durant tonight, or is it smart to sit him out facing a sweep?
Well, you know, I don't know. The only thing that occurred to me, and again, this is just me. I haven't spoken to any of the coaches, and granted, he's still questionable, so it's not like he's out or doubtful. But to me, if the Warriors were to win tonight and then he didn't play until round two, that'd be almost 2 weeks without going, you know, in an NBA game. So if he's able to go tonight, I'm not sure, but to me, that was the only thing that I was thinking, that maybe if he is healthy enough that he might want to give it a go, is just to get one run in before he, you know, if the Warriors win, he would have to sit out for another week. But again, it's big view. It's you know, he may want to go, and they may say no because they're taking the big view on this. They want him healthy. You know, if they'd like to think that they're going to be playing in 2 months, and they'd like to have him healthy for that run.
Voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy here on 95.7 The Game. So what I'm trying to imagine here, and I think really the only question to be unanswered in this series, because we know how it ends, we just don't know when it ends. I think my question is, under what scenario do the Blazers beat the Warriors here? You know, they got an incredible game one out of their backcourt, still lose. It was on the road. In game two, they are facing a Kevin Durantless team and still lose on the road. They go home, open up like gangbusters, are playing great against a Kevin Durantless team and a Steve Kerr team with no Livingston, with no Barnes, and they still lose in game three when the Warriors played out of their mind again defensively with Nurkic back. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. So where's the scenario, Tim, where the Blazers take a game here? What do they need to do?
All you have to do is look at last year. You never know what's going to happen in every individual game. Every game's different. And last year, they were down 2-0 to the LA Clippers, and then Blake Griffin got hurt, and then they came back and won a game when Chris Paul gets hurt, and then all of a sudden the door opens. So you never know what's going to happen in an NBA game. So until you close them out, and closeout games are always the hardest, and until you close them out, they're still alive. And so, you know, you have to take that to heart and make sure you close them out, because they're still professionals and they're NBA players and they're great basketball players and they have a lot of pride. And so they're not going to roll over just because the Warriors are up 3-0. And in fact, with Damian Lillard on the team, I think they're going to come out and fight, you know, all the harder.
JaVale McGee is having one of the best weeks of his entire life. I mean, he really is. This is maybe the best three games in a row he's strung together. If not in his career, certainly in a Warrior uniform, and the timing couldn't have been better. He is a huge part of their playoff success so far.
He's a plus 51 in like 39 minutes. I mean, it's off the charts how good he's playing and what an impact he has. And you know, the fact that he's, you know, he battles a little bit of asthma condition, that Steve Kerr uses him and you know, gets him in there in short bursts and allows him to play full bore during that time. You know, I think it's a real intelligent way of using JaVale McGee, and I think it's the best way to use him. And he comes in, he plays hard for 5 or 6 minutes, he gives you this great effort, and you know, bang, all of a sudden, you know, you go from up 6 to up 12, because he's a totally different look than any other player they have. And it's remarkable to see. I'm very happy for him. You know, I think it's hard for a guy that has some pride and, you know, the only thing you're known for is, you know, Shaq making fun of you. You know, I mean, so he's showing he's an NBA player and a really good one, and he's a game changer. And so I'm really happy for him in that way.
And by the way, there was a lot of patience put into the development of Patrick McCaw throughout the regular season. And we thought maybe this would be the silver outline of any Durant injury with all the minutes that he got. And if that hasn't paid dividends, I don't know what more you would want. This guy has turned into a different player as soon as the playoffs started. He's been awesome.
He's been really good. And again, it goes back to, you know, the coaches taking their time and working with him. Willie Green works with him before every game, and they're constantly talking to him and showing film and all that, and the development of a player. And, you know, the Warriors have the advantage. They can develop players, you know, at their own pace. You know, it wasn't like he was, you know, taken by a team that had to put him on the floor for 30 minutes a night, where maybe, you know, where he wasn't NBA ready would be exposed early. So, but this kid, he's a quiet kid, but he just works hard, and he is starting to. I think all players get to a point, Damon, where they start to believe they're NBA players, and I think we're seeing that right now with Patrick McCaw. I think we saw it early in the season with Ian Clark, that there was no more, I'm fighting for, you know, just to show everybody I can be an NBA player. I think early in the season, Ian Clark knew that I am an NBA player. I think that makes all the difference in the world. It gives the guys a lot of confidence, and it allows them to not worry about mistakes and to just keep playing. And you know, a lot of times you see a young player make a mistake and then they start to hang their head. But now, you know, McCaw knows if he throws the ball away, not the end of the world, just keep going. So it's, again, everybody thought that the Warriors weren't going to be able to use strength and numbers as a phrase again this year, but now at this part of the season, it's pretty evident they can.
There's no doubt about it. We will get you all set for Game 4 tonight. Kerry Keating joins me at 6 o'clock for Warriors warm-up. At 7 o'clock, Tim Roy takes over live from Portland, and hopefully it's his last trip to Portland all year long. Thank you very much. Always great to talk to you, Tim. Thank you.
I love coming up here, but I agree with your sentiment.
There you go. Yeah, Portland's beautiful, but like,
it is.
You don't need to. Doesn't need to be beautiful 5 times a year.
All right.
Thank you very much. Tim Roy, voice of the Warriors. Our man Keith Law, all over Major League Baseball, next on the Damon Bruce Show. Arroyo, it is. And he is hitting 6th for the Giants tonight. Christian Arroyo has been called up. He'll be playing third base. Nunez has been moved to left. And if there were ever a pretty decent day to talk to Keith Law from ESPN.com, today would be that day with all this maneuvering, trying to get the Giants out of this dead last place bullet they've fired so far this season. It looks like that's the way it's going. Can they turn it around? Is it asking Arroyo to do an awful lot to turn this around? Yes, it is, when pitching has been such a big problem, too. I guess this is a good way to tell you how big of a problem the pitching has been so far, Keith. Matt Cain's been one of their best pitchers. Like, that's good and bad all at the same time, don't you think?
Yeah, well, that's probably more bad than good, especially with what Cain's serving up there and what he's done the last couple of years. That speaks to their, I don't know if I want to say desperation, but the size of the hole that they're steadily digging for themselves right now.
Yeah, speaks to owing a guy $22 million, I think, as well, and I don't begrudge them that. You might as well try it. Let's see. Since we've last talked, Madison Bumgarner fell off a bike. He hurt his shoulder. He hurt his ribs. He really hurt the Giants' chances to turn a slow start into something good quickly. But it is a long baseball season. Now our attention turns to Christian Arroyo. Where do you have him? Do you think it's a reach to bring him up now? Or do you have it filed under, well, what the hell else are you going to do?
I think it's a pretty severe reach. I don't know what their reasoning is. I wonder, to what extent were they swayed by the fact that he's hitting .470 in AAA so far in good hitters environment, as opposed to the fact that last year he was young for AA, but really didn't perform all that well, did not get on base at a good clip, does not have a ton of power. Your evidence that this guy's ready to hit major league pitching is not that good right now. Is this a reaction to the hot start? Is this a, hey, we don't have anybody else to call up right now, so let's call him up? I know that the major league coaching staff loves him, loves his aptitude, loves his makeup. He'll get there eventually. I just don't see a whole lot of reason to think that he's ready to contribute now as an average big leaguer.
It's a little too early to say break it all up, nothing's going to happen. But it's not too crazy to start thinking that could be the scenario you're looking at somewhere around the deadline. The Giants have been buyers, not sellers, at the deadline for so long, we kind of forgot what the other direction looks like. Let me just put the name out. Johnny Cueto. I mean, are you getting a top prospect, a top 10 prospect for a guy like Cueto? If he keeps pitching like this, that to me seems to be the biggest bounty you could get, right?
Yes. I think his track record, as long as he's healthy, because obviously he's had issues well before he got to the Giants. There were questions about his elbow. Let's assume that he doesn't pitch great from now till July, but he pitches okay, shows flashes of the old Cueto, and there's no indication whatsoever that he's hurt. You'd still get a pretty good return. There's never enough starting pitching available in the trade market in July, and there are a lot of contenders, starting with the Cubs, who are likely to be looking for starters when we get closer to the deadline. So I think that there'll be plenty of demand, not a whole lot of supply. If the Giants get to that point, I'm certainly not burying them right now. Yeah, he'd probably be actually one of the more attractive pieces they could put out there.
A's, they're looking at, I guess, all things considered, a great start. A game over 500 through 19 games. But really, it is. They're 10-9, which is a little bit better than I think I would have seen. And they got clobbered yesterday. But on days they're not getting clobbered, they're actually playing decent-looking Major League Baseball. I mean, I'll tell you what, the Giants look more like the minor leaguers playing Major League Baseball than the A's do by a mile so far this year.
I guess it's the soft bigatry of low expectations.
Yes,
right?
It is.
With real, 90 games, they're a little over 500. Hey, everything's great right now.
Yeah, yeah. That is, without a doubt, the perfect explanation for what we're looking at. But here's the thing, man. Maybe Chris Davis is a little bit better than you want to give him credit for being, and maybe there are some pieces here that are not as, you know, that are more than just a little bit better than you thought they would be from a pitching standpoint. And I don't know. I look at the A's, and I see a little bit more potential than I thought I was going to see 20 games in. By the way, we're also the flagship, and we hope you tune into every game.
Anyway, I look at them and say, obviously, everything's a small sample. That's all we're talking about at this point. They've had some guys performing well above expectations, and the result so far has been a game over 500. If that's what they get when most of their guys seem to be playing better than expected, what happens when the roster as a whole is playing right around expectations? It's probably a sub-500 team, and they're going to be faced with the same difficult questions they haven't been answering the last few years. Are they going to really tear it down and try to go with a youth movement? Because it seems like they've kind of vacillated the last few seasons on how much to trade away, how much to invest in the farm system.
How much quicker are these baseball games flying by now that they've tweaked that intentional walk rule? It's like we're almost hardly even in the ballpark, right?
Yeah, you know, Richard Dietz at SI asked me the other day about pace of play in baseball as a televised sport. The intentional walk thing really never came up. It's kind of weird.
It never did. I never thought this intentional walk is the biggest thing slowing down what we're watching here today. I understand they're looking to cut minutes and seconds out wherever they can, but that's
it's
just
the commercial breaks.
Thank you.
You know, if you cut, especially, and I said this to Richard too, who's on his media post that he does every week. I said, you know, the problem is you want pitching, you want commercial breaks between innings. Fine. I get that. And I understand. We got cable companies, the broadcasters have to pay the bills. We do not need a full 2.5 minute pitching change, commercial break at every single pitching change. Those are the things that really extend the game by a noticeable amount. An intentional walk extends the game by a few seconds. A pitch clock, a holding of every pitcher to make him throw a pitch within 20 seconds, you're shaving a few seconds off here and there. And a lot of pitchers really do need that extra time to rest between pitches. It comes down to whether Major League Baseball is willing to do something about the commercial breaks. Otherwise, there's no point talking about pace of play.
We're so excited about Arroyo coming on up. We forgot to ask you about Drew Stubbs. Is that guy ready to turn this whole year around or what?
Yeah, no.
Oh, no. Oh, that's the analysis? That's
there.
Where
okay. That's a lot of time. That's a lot of time in the big leagues without a lot of production.
You're right about that for sure. You know, I'm tired, Keith. Just tired of dumb baseball. If only someone wrote a book about smart baseball. But I don't want to wait for it. Like I would like to be able to pick up this book tomorrow, if at all possible. Could you suggest anything?
There's one by that title, actually, that I wrote and that is coming out tomorrow, in fact. I'm in New York City right now to start the Whirlwinds promotional effort behind it.
Very cool. Are you, like, ringing the bell at the stock exchange tomorrow? How do you officially kick off the promotional tour?
I'm going to be appearing on SI Now, their live video. I believe it's coming online, and then doing umpteen million radio hits between then and the end of the day. So it's very glamorous.
Well, hey, the book tour Car Wash is how you reach that New York Times bestseller list. So do it with aplomb. Do it with a smile. Just play nice with everyone, Keith. Don't make everyone feel stupid around you.
Come on, I'm Mr. Congeniality.
It's a Mr. Softy. He's Keith Law. Hey, thank you an awful lot, and best of luck with the book launch tomorrow. It really is something that I'm looking forward to reading this summer. So feel free to send us an advanced copy if you'd like. Or I'll just go out and buy it if you force me to do that.
Why? You'll get it faster if you go to a bookstore.
Tomorrow? Tomorrow it is. Thank you very much. Keith, good luck with everything. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Keith Law, Smart Baseball, in stores tomorrow. The story behind old stats that are ruining the game and the new ones that are ruining it. And the right way to think about baseball. I like how he's got the word ruining in his title twice. That's a very Keith thing to do. Keith, are you excited about Christian Arroyo? No, I think it's a huge reach. Keith, Chris Davis is leading the major league in home runs. What do you think of that? But that's why we keep on bringing him back, because he is the discerning eye, shall we say. The discerning eye that he does not really care how deeply offended you are about the observations. Do you realize that if we conducted every single Keith Law interview and only talked about the world of board games, he could go deeper and further than he could into that world than he does even baseball?
Really?
Keith Law is Ivy League level dork, meaning that once he's interested in something, like he does not want to just know the time. He wants to know how the watch is made.
Gotcha.
That's who he is. And I think he's a fascinating guy. I really do. And I guarantee you that book is going to be one of the smarter reads that you read on sports in your life. And that's before I previewed a word of it. I just like his work an awful lot. Damon, Keith Law sucks. I've been interviewing. He's always wrong. No, not quite always wrong. According to Keith Law, Damon, no one in baseball is doing well. His whole world is 20 games under 500. I like the guy an awful lot. Awful, awful lot. 888-957-9570. We do have open lines for you as we move into our 4 o'clock hour. Bill Cartwright's been inducted into the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame. He will be forever enshrined in a random SFO terminal. That's where the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame is. It's at the airport, actually. But, you know, it is an honor. And we've liked talking with Bill. We've done it this year when we were doing a little USF basketball. And obviously with the playoffs going on, a former teammate of his is suffering right now. And Steve Kerr, so we'll see what Bill Cartwright has to say about all that. But we're either going to do it around quarter of or quarter after or quarter till. It's a TBD situation for Bill Cartwright, but he's scheduled to join us next hour. Chris Mannix is coming up at 4:30. We're going to dive into the NBA playoffs with him at 4:30, and we're actually going to dive into it next on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.